What up, Razz Ballers? Week one in the books, week two on the horizon. I'm your host today, Sky Guasco. Very excited to be bringing you a weekly waiver wire and trade talk episode with my man, Matt Styles. You can find him at Styles08 on Twitter. You can find me at Sky Guasco. Sitting in for the big man, Bob LaMarco. I've been doing some summer shows here, and I'm going to be having a weekly host slot here on this one. This is a really important show, of course, because you have your waiver wires dropping tonight, maybe even this morning if you're in an early league. But we got some great waiver wire ads here. Matt has already dropped his article on Razzball. You can check that out every single Tuesday morning. So you get ahead of the curve, prepare for this episode before you even drop it, have a little extra nugget, and then you can drop your fab bids or make sure to use that waiver claim most appropriately if possible. Make sure to go over to the Razzball team and subscribe everywhere you can. Of course, if you're on the YouTube show right here, you can just drop us a subscriber here below, hit the bell so you don't miss any alerts, and drop a comment of your favorite waiver ad per position. Let us know maybe settings if it matters, super flex quarterbacks, PPR, what have you. And of course, you can also let us know some players you're looking forward to trading or trading away for the rest of the season here as we go on. Once again, I'm your host, Sky Guasco. It's another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube show and Fantasy Football Podcast. You can download our podcast so you don't miss a beat throughout the day. Matt, you did drop your article today on Razzball.com. It was a featured article here this morning, and that'll be the case every single Tuesday morning. First of all, before we even get into it, man, we had a super fun Sunday live show. That was great to have us on there, the four of us, for the morning, and we'll be doing that every single Sunday. So listeners, make sure you tune into us every Sunday morning, kicking off a couple hours before kickoff, and we'll be doing your start sit questions. We have some opportunities there to maybe win a couple of prizes throughout the season as well. So make sure to dive in there, and we answer as many questions as possible. Once the games got started, though, Matt, it was kind of slow to get started. Then, of course, we had a couple injuries per usual. Then things kind of went nuts, and then players skyrocketed in performance. Other players kind of fell off a cliff and didn't show up. We had the big Dak injury, of course, later in the evening. And then the Seahawks shocking the world and coming, getting a huge win over the Broncos and Russ's return to Seattle. So a lot of shakeups throughout the NFL. It is only week one. We all have a mantra of not overreacting. But let's be honest, it's fantasy football. We've waited 7 months for this. It's kind of hard not to overreact. What were a couple of your immediate reactions, for better or worse, this weekend?
Yeah, first of all, I got to tell you, I love your glasses, right? These are
thank you.
Very nice. Yeah, so I felt the same thing you did, right? The morning games were really slow to start, and I thought, when are the fantasy points going to start popping off? When are we going to see it in our Yahoo and ESPN tickers? And it just, I mean, all the way through halftime, it just seemed like everybody was kind of in slow motion, and you're exactly right. Second half started, and it went nuts all the way up into my Green Bay game when Justin Jefferson just – shook over and really embarrassed the Packers on national TV on Fox. So yeah, we'll be better in week two. We, you know, same thing happened to us last year. The Saints beat the brakes off us, but yeah, for me, it was a real slow start and a real crazy afternoon and then evening sprinkled with some big name injuries throughout the day. And then watching Nathaniel Hackett shoot the Denver Broncos in the foot and find a way not to win that football game last night.
Man, it's crazy. Very surprising. I totally agree. I mean, I don't think anybody outside of Seattle had, you know, the Seahawks having a chance in that game. I thought Russ would be, you know, blowing them out quickly, and they just weren't able to. So the Denver defense didn't play as well as I thought they would, and the offense didn't either. And let's give it to the Seahawks, man. Geno did enough, and Pete Carroll sprinkled a little more of that magic. He's been winning a handful of games over the years that maybe he shouldn't have, but
and they're 1-0,
nonetheless, right? They get it done.
They're 1-0. So,
that's right, folks. Yep. First place Seattle Seahawks is what we all expected here on Tuesday of week two here.
Tied for the NFC lead.
Yeah, love that, right? I mean, oh, man, my Niners had a rough game versus the Bears as well. So, all right, Matt, well, let's get into it. So, again, this week is going to be a little bit unique because I don't have a ton of trade talk yet. It's only week one, not a lot of trends, not a lot of dynasty movement per se. Of course, we do have some big injuries, so we can fill those gaps right away. But otherwise, I'd like to actually spend a little bit more time on your side of the fence handling some waiver wire. So again, make sure to rep your article, and then let's kind of, you know, cruise through each position here and let the listeners and viewers know which specific players. Of course, there's tons of players still on your waivers, right? A lot of players that we didn't think were going to have an opportunity that actually did get some work in, and a couple of vets had gone down. Maybe some people didn't produce, and now we can fill in a couple slots. So there's a lot of options, but what specific options and maybe roster percentage to give us an idea of what our likelihood is to get these guys? And Matt, if you want to be extra fancy, if you had maybe a fab percentage or a fab, you know, number to throw behind anybody at any given time, that might help as well for those of us in free agent acquisition budget leagues as well that aren't just relying on a top seed there for the waiver ad. So let's go ahead. I'll turn it over to you. Why don't we start with the quarterbacks, of course. And quarterbacks, as we know, are quite fickle when it comes to waivers, right? If you're in a super flex league, I actually started a three quarterback league this year with eight players, which is kind of fun. But if quarterbacks are toast, quarterbacks are toast. There's minimal options. But let's maybe look a little bit more focused on single quarterback leagues that are going to have maybe 10 guys plus on the waivers. Let's kind of pick and choose through a few of those guys who are maybe a quarterback or two we'd be looking for this week on the waiver wire.
Sure. I think the bell of the ball for Sunday is Carson Wentz. 13% rostered. He went for 335 and four touchdowns. The problem is Carson Wentz is Carson Wentz, right? So if you lost Dak last night for the better part of, what are they saying, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe 2 months plus when it's all said and done. And then who knows what he's going to be like when he comes back. It's his thumb. And I don't, so what is he going to be able to do? We don't know. Wentz was, curiously enough, the number 14 quarterback last year. Nobody seems to remember that. And he was abysmal. He was just god awful. So I think that Wentz is a solid ad for those that have Dak. If you want to go deeper, and I actually listed Daniel Jones in my article this morning, but I told you, you know what you get with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. If and when Saquon gets hurt, Daniel Jones turns back into a pumpkin, right? We're heading towards Halloween. So he's not going to be the bell of the ball for very long. I would not add Daniel Jones unless you absolutely had to. I would probably go a little bit deeper and for free, you know, or a $1 fab bid, 10% or 1% even, is you could probably get Mariota or Trubisky off the wire for basically no cost. And I don't know, you know, Daniel Jones, 25% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Is he going to get, is he going to move up? Maybe, but it all hinges on who owns Dak, if they have a backup, and what the backup's name is, if they really want to go onto the wire, or if they think they can survive with their backup.
Absolutely, I agree. Carson Wentz obviously coming out of the gate hot, which we love to see. He does have this potential in him, and obviously there's a lot of weapons in Washington. I just don't think we gave him the credit because of last year. But as you mentioned, Matt, it felt a lot more ugly than it actually ended up being. QB14 is fabulous, right? I mean, Kirk Cousins is QB14 more often than not, and we're excited to draft him. You know, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson, but he does have three quality receivers in a good run game, which we'll get to in just a little bit. All of a sudden, Antonio Gibson, you know, don't forget about me. So that's nice. I just want to throw a couple other quick names out there that most likely are on your waiver wires that were not popular draft day ads in single quarterback leagues. You mentioned Carson Wentz. He was QB3 on the week. Jameis Winston, nice 2022 debut, QB7. My boy, Marcus Mariota, you had mentioned there, QB10.
Jameis doesn't care. He'll throw all day to anybody that's available. They don't have to be open. They don't have to be on his team. He will throw all day. He's great for leagues that don't have a big penalty for interceptions.
Absolutely. And the Saints couldn't run the ball. So if they're not able to do that effectively, they're going to have to rely on Kamara out of the backfield as well there. And Michael Thomas was back and healthy and looked great as well. So Marcus Mariota, again, QB10. You mentioned Daniel Jones. And I want to throw a shout out to my man Davis Mills as well. QB18, which isn't super amazing, but played really well. And the Texans, frankly, should have beaten the Colts in that game in regulation and in overtime. I like Davis Mills long-term. So again, if your team is wise and you have a late round, you know, maybe a late waiver ad, you're not able to get one of these top dogs, I think Davis Mills is a weekly, you know, QB2 with QB1 upside potentially. And also some sneaky talent there with Nico Collins and Brandon Cooks, Brevin Jordan as well. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the running backs here. Number of running backs, of course, look, some guys that were in that RB dead zone popped off, which is great to see. Some of the big time studs that we all drafted in the first, second, third round didn't show up for us necessarily. Unfortunately, again, my Niners are cursed, man. This is literally 6 years in a row, Matt, that the starting running back has gone down before week five for the 49ers. It's unbelievable, the consistency on this side of the fence, which is miserable. So Elijah Mitchell out for quite a while as well, at least 6 weeks also with his injury. So are you looking at one of those five other 49er running backs, or are there other guys here you're looking at on the waiver?
Yeah, so I chatted back and forth with folks on Reddit after my article posted today, and Donkey Teeth hung it on Reddit. And my waiver wire ad of the week is Ty Davis Price. I think that Mason had a better preseason, and I was actually corrected on Reddit. I had them backwards. But I think that Shanahan has this weird knack for putting the real number three running back inactive and letting the better special teams guy play on Sundays if he has the choice. So he keeps the 7 year or the 27 year old Jeff Wilson as the backup active on Sunday. Eli Mitchell goes down. Wilson takes the rest of the carries, and Jeff Wilson is who he is, right? He's like Daniel Jones. He's going to have one game a year based on injury that he pops off or has a couple of touchdowns, but he's going to have, 37 yards on 13 carries. He's not that good. And my gut tells me that Shanahan goes back to the well, to his old process. He activates Ty Davis Price to be the number two at the very least, probably the number one. And it's possible we see a Raheem Mostert and Eli Mitchell out of Ty Davis Price. Third round draft pick. He's got some motor, and he's NFL ready. He's proven that, and I think that he's going to be the guy that gets the majority of the carries. Now, if that doesn't happen, I've got a lot of egg on my face and have to go back to Reddit and apologize to everybody that adds him tonight. But the other guy I like is Isaiah Pacheco with the Chiefs. Now, he did get a lot of garbage points when the Chiefs were throttling the Cardinals. He's 31% owned, so he's a little bit higher than what I usually would want to put into this article. However, the Chiefs are going to steamroll some folks, and he's going to have potential to get some late time. And I think on top of that, he's the best running back they have. He's got the NFL body, whereas CEH and Jerick McKinnon do not. Ronald Jones was, I think, inactive for Sunday, if not released altogether. I think he was inactive. But really, if you look at the size and the scope of what Pacheco has, he came into the draft season with a lot of fire behind him. But I think ultimately down the line this season, Pacheco is going to be the number one. We're just waiting for that CEH injury, which I hope doesn't happen because I own him way too many places. Got him in that running back dead zone, like you mentioned earlier. So yeah. I think Pacheco is a really good add. And if you are real slick, I didn't put it in my article, is if you can drop somebody, add Brian Robinson and stash him on your IR and then pick up, your streaming defense or kicker or whatever you want to do. I think that's a real slick move, especially in Yahoo leagues that allow that IR position.
I agree. I like that. And again, those are things that maybe you let waivers clear if you're going to pull something like that or whatever, just because, he's still out for another couple of weeks. So if you don't need him per se right away, but Gibson looked good. So I can't imagine that they're just going to pass the reins if they needed to. And maybe his doghouse stint in the preseason was, well-received. So I agree there. A couple other names here. Some of these are deep name flyers, but they produced well and worth looking at because I almost guarantee you most of these guys were not drafted and probably available under waiver wires. Dontrell Hilliard. I know. I had to look him up too. Running back 7. Okay. 4 receptions, 61 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns for the Titans. We know we don't want the other running back for the Titans ever, but if you have Derrick Henry, I would absolutely put this guy on your bench. I can't imagine Michael Carter is available per se, but if you're in shallow leagues and people just had the Breece Hall hype, look at Michael Carter. He is the starter for now. Jamal Williams, right? The backup for DeAndre Swift has produced the last couple of years in Detroit. So he's getting work on top of DeAndre Swift, and they run the ball so much that there's room there for him as well. Darrell Henderson, right? I mean, we're burying the lead here with who kicked off on Thursday night. Darrell Henderson played very well also, RB20. And as you mentioned earlier, Cam Akers nowhere to be seen. And then Rex Burkhead, right? I know we're all fancy for Damian, but unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition. He's still a rookie. Lovie Smith likes his veterans. And now we have Rex Burkhead going off as well in the first week. So just some deeper names also not super flashy names, but if you need to fill a roster spot or you had some guys go down due to injury, you can take a look there. All right, we got wide receivers and tight ends coming up in just a second, but I'm going to give Matt a quick water break here, and I want to give a shout-out to some of our friends. So this is Good Sports. 10% of all the donations will go to Good Sports here at Razzball. So when you have the shows here or the Sunday live show, when you join us on Sunday for your start sit questions and you contribute to our channel here, 10% of all the proceeds are going to go to Good Sports. They're an organization that helps underprivileged youth not only get gear, but sign up for leagues, helps with field management, right? These are inner city kids. These are also way out, you know, in rural areas that don't have access to tough travel. So $88 million in value to equipment distribution, over 55,000 individual play packs distributed, 50 states served with Puerto Rico and DC included as well, 6,000 youth organizations eligible to receive equipment donations, and 9 million kids have been served with Good Sports. We're very excited to be a part of what Good Sports does. I've worked in youth sports for the better part of my life. I played youth sports for 20 years. And you know, my kids have gone through and played youth sports, and it's so important to be active for those kids that want to be in sports like that, in any sport around the country. And we're just so happy to be a part of Good Sports. So anytime you contribute to Razzball here on the Sunday live show or otherwise, 10% of those proceeds will be going to Good Sports season long. All right, Matt, let's jump back into it here. Let's go into our wide receivers. Wide receivers is tough, man. Thankfully, at wide receiver, our top dogs threw down this week. Justin Jefferson, much to your chagrin, I can relate, certainly. Wide receiver one, Cooper Kupp, wide receiver two. Devontae Adams, unfortunately, also to your chagrin. Wide receiver three, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver four, and Stephon Diggs, wide receiver six. Wide receiver five was filled in by Michael Pittman, who was not a top draft pick, but a lot of people thought he might finish up there. So far, so good. This was an unbelievable string of the top dogs finishing where we thought they were going to, basically in order. I mean, it was phenomenal the way that they did that. I don't see it happening maybe every week, but pretty amazing up at the top. Now, that's only six guys in your league. For the other four to six players in your league who don't have one of these guys, you might have had some downers with some of the other big names that didn't produce. So who are some waiver wire targets for the wide receiver position we should be looking at?
So in my article, again, I wrote do these things and don't do these other things. And I was actually convinced that I had made a mistake in my article. Shame on me. But I think that both Washington wide receivers are waiver adds. I think Jahan Dotson, as I wrote in my article, is the better add for season long. And Curtis Samuel can also be added now. I just don't value him as much. I think he's a little bit of a gadget guy, but he did have 11 targets. I think he had four carries, and he scored as well. So if you look back at his 2020 numbers, he was pretty good. And what one of the Reddit posts reminded me of is Ron Rivera drafted Samuel, and yeah, Ron Rivera put in the offense that highlighted Samuel. Now, he dropped off the face of the earth, and Robbie Anderson outperformed him, but some of that was injury, and he just kind of never made his way back into – the starting lineup. Now, Robbie Anderson went off this week, but I would say don't you dare. Don't be fooled, right? He's still the same guy that he's always been. He can't block, but he ran 100% of snaps he was in on, he ran a route. I mean, that's it. You don't get more than that, right? 100 is
100. That's what you want.
That's what you want. Now, he made the best or the most of that as well, but again, you know, who's his quarterback in Carolina? It's Baker Mayfield. He's never gone to the Pro Bowl. He's not going to light it up like even a guy like Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers or, you know, the top three, the Lamars and the Kylers and the Herberts. He's just not that guy. So I would say temper your expectations on Robbie Anderson. I think with the Keenan Allen injury, it's hamstring, which we all know can be 1 week and it can be 11 weeks. So Josh Palmer, he's around 21, 23% owned. I think he's a good guy to go after, especially if you own Allen. Even if you don't, it's a good opportunity to add somebody if you need a starter. If you went running back heavy and you don't have a lot of options at wide receiver, or the guys you have are named Devontae Parker or Jarvis Landry, even though he did go off, I would say that Palmer's a good at it. He's solid, right? You kind of know what you're going to get from him. And with the injury, it helps even more. From there, and I know Rudy's going to hate when I say this, right? But Devin Duvernay, he's not the guy. You don't want to add Devin Duvernay. Flash in a pan. He was good for Sunday highlights. He padded Lamar's stats. But, I mean, don't we know who this guy is at this point, right? It's Mark Andrews' team. It's a running team, and so everything's going to go from through Lamar, Bateman, and Andrews, and Dobbins if and when he plays again. I just don't see Duvernay repeating that. He may not get that many points the rest of the season, but for anybody that's a UT guy or that's a fan of Rudy Gamble, they're going to be upset with me, but I'm not touching Duvernay in any waivers.
And it might be Devin Duvernay did play well, 4 for 54 and 2 touchdowns. When you look at deep dives, right, like Bob usually has on Saturdays, you drop a trends article, right, something to look forward for the weekend. And something I noticed in the Jets-Ravens game was that Sauce Gardner, although a rookie, he went up against Mark Andrews most of the time, right? They're the top corner, top wide receiver threat for the Ravens. They paired him up. And Mark Andrews is a big man. He's dominant. And Sauce Gardner smashed him, frankly. Yeah. He was ineffective. He still finished, you know, tight end 10. But when you're talking about tight ends, if you're not in the top five, it's not – a difference maker for your week. Sauce Gardner shut him down. Rashad Bateman, you know, wasn't able to do too much either on the consistency. So Devin Duvernay was able to make a little bit more work. So maybe it's something that, like, as you go through, if there's a dominant corner that might try to take out Andrews, maybe Duvernay is kind of a deeper stash at that point. But I agree with you. There's a lot of guys every week that kind of pop off. You're like, ooh, I want that. But it's fool's gold, right? This might be like a Sammy Watkins thing that we're used to, right? We talked about it on the Sunday Live show. Who's going to be this week's week one, this year's week one, Sammy Watkins, maybe it was Devin Duvernay. I agree there. A couple other deep slots. You mentioned Robbie Anderson. I'm with you. I'm not going to chase that, but wide receiver 10, let's definitely keep an eye on it. He did have some great years there early on in his career with the Jets and without quarterbacks, essentially. Some other deeper names, Christian Kirk. I can't imagine he's available necessarily, but he wasn't drafted very popular. So if you're in a shallow league, keep an eye on Christian Kirk. DJ Chark. Super popular years ago, got hurt 2 years in a row, kind of fell off the map. Wide receiver 21. Again, we're not talking, you know, superstars per se, but somebody got hurt and you need to fill a wide receiver 2-3 flex. Keep an eye on these names. Then you had Josh Palmer, I think, is my favorite. And I like that you mentioned that. He was kind of my deeper stash guy. Oh, I was just looking down here. I had to scroll all the way down. It took me too long. Mike Williams. Can I have you guess, Matt? I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to give you a hint. Mike Williams was between wide receiver 70 and 100. What number do you think he actually fell to?
Based on him not showing up on any highlights, I'd say probably around 93.
Exactly 93. Well done. Wide receiver 93, Mike Williams.
Sure, make sure the listeners know that you did not give me that number.
I did not. 100% did not, I promise. I had to keep scrolling to make sure he didn't get injured and something happened or he missed snaps, whatever. Just didn't happen. Now, do I expect Mike Williams and the Chargers? Look, Justin Herbert was just fine. They scored touchdowns, but it was my boy Gerald Everett instead, right? So now with Keenan Allen going down, I think that Mike Williams will have a lot more work, but so will Josh Palmer. You want guys in high-flying offenses, so keep an eye on that as well. And then look at maybe
– I think if you owned Mike Williams last year, and I did in one of my home leagues, you recognize this Mike Williams game, right? Normally he's big game Mike, but when he doesn't show, I mean, he doesn't show at all, as if he didn't even come out of the locker room. I mean, Jamar Chase put up what, one real dud last year, one catch for 3 yards, but Chase was lights out for the rest of the year. But Mike Williams, every once in a while, he's going to take a couple of games off and it's going to really hurt your lineup. Now, I'm not ever saying don't start him. I'm saying start him every week, but he just drops duds every once in a while, and it's painful.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of Mike Evans early in his career with the Bucs, with the revolving door of quarterbacks. Brady is obviously much more consistent. Even on a down game from Brady, Evans is going to get his, right? But early on with Fitzpatrick and Jameis in Tampa Bay, Mike Evans would have the same thing. He'd have 14 targets, 120 yards, and 2 touchdowns 1 week. And he'd have 3 targets for 42 yards the next week. And you can't rely on that, obviously. Keep an eye on some of the rookies. The rookies did not produce very well. Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Romeo Doubs, and, of course, Treylon Burks were not amazing, but they all did play pretty, quite a bit. They're going to be growing. So maybe not in week two, but week three, week four, keep an eye on them. If people are dropping these names too, the best thing to do, especially week two, week three, week four, is people are going to overreact. So look at who also gets dropped. Look at who gets dropped. A stud that didn't, like Mike Williams, didn't produce. People are like, oh, this guy's trash. What was I doing? Sky was wrong the whole summer. What an idiot. Why did I draft this guy? He gets dropped. You best be blowing your fab to get him right back onto your team. I promise that's the move. All right, let's wrap it up here with some tight ends before I get into just a couple of trade targets here.
I love Robert Tonyan because Aaron Rodgers is absolutely frustrated right now. Body language, right? He never – you know what you get with him, right? He's going to be pissy. He's a prima donna. I love him because he's the Green Bay quarterback, but you just never have to figure out where his head is. He is pissed off right now. They got smoked on defense. They looked like trash on offense, and he's going to start throwing to guys he trusts. I don't think that's Randall Cobb because I don't think Cobb gets the separation he used to. And I think he's going to start – those two running backs are going to get it like we talked about on Sunday. And I think he's going to start feeding Tanya. The sneaky, way under the radar, I think at 1% or 2% owned, and you mentioned the team earlier, but you mentioned their defense, is Tyler Conklin, right? Nice. This is a house of a dude. He just didn't click early in his career, but I think that at that low percentage, if you're going to take a flyer, that's the type of guy you want to go get.
Absolutely. Let's bring up OJ Howard as well. And in my article, I wrote kind of, you know, some guys who were who we thought they were and are not who we thought they were, for better or worse. And I put, OJ, how did it take this long to force end zone targets to him, Howard, right? Tight end two on the week, two tutties. I don't know if Taysom Hill actually counts, but if he's a tight end, he's still a running back. He's still going to play that hybrid role. He's a cheat code. He's a guy that you could put in. He was tight end three, if that counts. Gerald Everett, tight end four. I was repping him all summer as a deep round guy. Keenan Allen goes down. You need that red zone presence for the Chargers. Love me some Gerald Everett. Hayden Hurst. Haven't heard from him in a couple of seasons, but he's now tight end 11 and getting a lot of work as well there. So those are some deeper names at the tight end position. I'll put you on the spot a little bit. We did not prep for this, so if you have it, great. If you don't, no big deal. Do you have anybody on a DST, even an IDP or a kicker for anybody else at playing in those kind of leagues? Maybe just a name or two, if you want to go out there. It was a huge name, for example, for, you know, Jake Elliott, for example, for the Eagles, had a big game. There were some defenses that popped off that were kind of those younger squads nobody gave a chance, but they blew up. And that the Denver defense I drafted everywhere, right? And they didn't show up. So maybe I'd be looking to switch it up next week. Any DSTs, IDP, or kickers?
So my plan, and it has always been the same. I try to get a top defense. Now I've changed my entire concept going into the draft, where the absolute last players are kicker and defense. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the book tells you to do, whatever the book is and whoever wrote it. So this year I stuck to it, and I ended up with the Rams, who got absolutely boat raced on Thursday night. But they're going to be okay, right? They have arguably the best corner in football, even though he looked lost, and without a doubt, a first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Donald. So I'm going to stick with them. But otherwise, if I was just a regular non-Rams owner, I would stream every week, right? I would take the best matchup possible, like a Cleveland, who has the top first four games are supposed to be very soft for the Browns. So if they're still out there, I would grab the Browns. And then for kickers, you mentioned it earlier, not in relation to kickers, but in general. Somebody's going to drop McPherson, right? Yeah. Somebody's going to drop Carlson. Those guys are legit money. And if they do that and you stream kickers, that's you go get one of those guys. Same with Butker, right? Was Butker the guy that got dinged? And then the DB came in and kicked for him. I think if people get freaked out and they drop him, it's another easy add in on kicker. Otherwise, I always stream the implied total in Vegas for the line. I want to take the highest implied total and normally the underdog team for players, and I would take the favorite for kickers because the underdog may go for two. You just never know. And then for defenses, I try to take the implied lowest score possible.
Love that. To add, I love all of that. To add a little bit as well with kickers, I like to have them indoors on a high scoring team in general, if I can, right? Chargers, Raiders, you know, whatever. And then Falcons, Younghoe Koo went nuts. Crazy. He had like 3 50-yard field goals. We saw that a couple of years ago from him, right? Marcus is going to move the ball up and down the field, but maybe they don't score as much as they should. They should have beat the Saints too. There's a lot of underdogs that had these teams on the wire, and they just didn't have the maturity or veteranship to do it, but they're close. So guys like that indoors on a high-scoring team, I want that kicker. For defense, I would love a team at home. Usually, right? They just a little more effort. You got the crowd behind you on defense. That helps a lot. And obviously a nice pass rush helps generate turnovers as well against a, you know, inferior defense. All right. So that's our waiver wire pickups. Again, Matt, please let us know where we can find your article before I get into just a couple quick trade targets.
Right now it's on the Razbell page under NFL. It's the featured article for today. Somebody may bump me tomorrow, but it'll still be there where you can scroll through and find it. Right now, the picture is of Ty Davis Price, so you'll be able to see that when you get to the Razzball page. And as a reminder, you know, almost everything on that Razzball page is free. All of, you know, much of our content is free. Subscribing here at YouTube is free, and you can get commentary from pretty good dudes and some women too that come in here and absolutely kill it. Right? We like Keelan when she's on, and we have others that come on. So we are all inclusive. We're mostly free. And we give good info. So come and suck all the info up that you can get your hands on. And then on Reddit, ask all the questions you want. Also, you can ask questions on our articles on Razzball. And it's our duty to go ahead and reply to every one of those.
Absolutely. Before we get out of here.
Yep.
Before we get out of here, I just want to throw a couple quick names. I'll put more time and emphasis on this moving forward. I just wanted to spend extra time in week two here on the waiver wires, because I know that that's a big one. A lot of people are going to drop a lot of people and bring up a lot of people. Again, reminder, look at who gets dropped. You're going to be shocked at a name that falls on your waiver wire. So take a look at that. All right, I'll make this a bit quick here. For quarterback, I'll make it, you know, easy. I want it to be Trey Lance, but not only did he not produce for fantasy football, he looked terrible. And his top running back went down, which is not good. Now, on a not swamp, against an underappreciated Bears defense, he probably looks better moving forward, and maybe you get him for, you know, beans at this point. So go ahead and add him if you'd like to. But as a 49er fan, I'm nervous. He didn't look ready the way we thought he would, but it was terrible conditions. You know who did look ready, though? Justin Fields. He should be looking good the rest of the season. Running back position, this is going to be crazy. It's going to take some work. You're not going to get these guys for free, obviously. But don't sleep on all of these studs that we drafted in the first two or three rounds that did not produce. Christian McCaffrey, running back 6. Dalvin Cook, running back 19. Austin Eckler, running back 25. Najee Harris, maybe hurt, maybe not. Depends who you talk to in Pittsburgh. Running back 28. Aaron Jones, running back 29. Travis Etienne, running back 35. Right, Derrick Henry, running back 37. Alvin Kamara, 43. Zeke, 47. Damian Pierce, 54. And Cam Akers, 71. Ugh. I know we don't like Cam Akers. I get it. But he's maybe a starting running back. If nothing else, he's a good handcuff. And we'll see what happens later. But all of those guys, you're going to get much, much, much cheaper, obviously, now than you would have on draft day. So just maybe throw some darts out there for those top studs if you need somebody. Wide receiver position, another couple of studs that didn't do very well. You know, we talked about the Commanders quite a bit. You talked about Jahan Dotson, Carson Wentz, Curtis Samuel. We didn't even mention arguably their best player on the field in Terry McLaurin, because he was wide receiver 26, Deebo Samuel 30, Deontay Johnson 31, DJ Moore, who we expect to have a bigger season maybe moving forward, 55, right? Brandon Ayuk at 60, Adam Thielen 62, Chris Godwin at 63. You can get Brady probably for cheap and just grab Godwin with him. He will pick it up eventually there as well. So keep an eye on those guys. And then again, Mike Williams, I mean, might be dropped. But look at him at wide receiver 93. That should only go up moving forward. Unbelievable. And then look, the only guy that I would want to make a trade for at tight end would be Kyle Pitts. I made a joke in my article that Marcus Mariota didn't need him on Sunday. He played well enough without him. Obviously, he needs him, and he's going to get peppered, and he's going to get his work. But they triple teamed him all game long, and that's maybe the deal with the Falcons. They got to have other guys beat him. But tight end 31 is impossible. He's going to blow up. He's going to be the cheapest. You're going to see him all season long. Get him before he has the Darren Waller game with 17 targets, you know, 15 receptions, 150 yards, and two touchdowns. It's coming soon. Try to get him if you can now. Whew. Matt, good first one, man. Stoked to do this with you for the season here. We got the waivers again and the trade targets. Let's make sure we get a quick thought here. Let everyone know where they can find your content all over the board once again, and I'll sign off.
Yep. Everything's available on the Razzball site, NFL. And if you do baseball DFS, I've got a baseball DFS on Saturdays that's out there. But for the most part, right, I'm focusing on football. And I'll give you an article every Tuesday morning with your waiver wire activity, at least my thoughts and considerations. Feel free to comment. We'll also be over on Reddit answering questions as well. And then you can find Sky, myself, and maybe some others, Bobby, and then some ins and outs folks when they have time, Sunday morning, starting at what time again? I think it's 8?
Sunday live show, 2 hours before kickoff, and whatever your local time is, we will be there knocking out two hours of consistent content. If you were with us on Sunday, you saw the rapid fire. We're going through questions quickly, right? We're going to get hundreds of questions, literally. And we're blasting them out as quick as possible. If you're doing that, quick reminder, make sure to give us your league settings. If you're doing like quarterback versus quarterback, is it super flex? Can you start them both? Is it a flex, you know, whatever? And then is it PPR, half PPR, something like that? Maybe it's a start one running back league, or you have to start three wide receivers. That helps us tremendously. Tight end premium, whatever. That helps us tremendously, giving you proper insight. Very excited. Make sure to go and see all of our articles. Of course, again, the waiver article is dropped. My article for the trade talk is coming out as well. So make sure you go over to razzball.com, hit the NFL section, and download the podcast. You can hit the podcast when you're walking the dog, doing the dishes, driving to work, whatever you got to do. You can follow up on these episodes if you don't catch us live right here on YouTube. So download the Razz. Free to subscribe, absolutely. Yeah. Leave us a five-star review. Let us know your comments for the show, and we'd be happy to read some of those out on the show as well once those come in. Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast, and of course right here on the YouTube channel. Leave a subscribe, hit the bell, and give us a comment for your favorite waiver wire ad in week two and trade target as well. For my man Matt Styles at Styles08 on Twitter, I'm your host Sky Guasco, SKYGUASCO on Twitter. We'll catch you next week. Best of luck on your waivers, and we'll catch you for the rest of this week right here on the Razzball Fantasy Football Show.